So you left off, we have finished one aspect of the sugya. Enjoy the second half of the sugya. We're about to begin. So the second half is a little bit easier than the first half. So we left off, there was a machlokes ha-tanoim. If a person made a mistake and he wrote the Shem Hashem and the Sefer Torah without the proper kavanah, is there a way to rectify that or not? So we spent most of the first half of the sugya talking about what exactly the problem was in the first place. Why is the Shem Hashem written without kavanah no good? But the bottom line is possible. The way it is, the Sefer Torah is not usable. Can you touch it up literally by just taking something and rewriting over it second time around, lishma? So Rabbi Yehuda said, why not? He said, marvel of kumas, just take a pen, stick it into the ink, just rewrite over the yukavavke, second time around being lishma. And the Chum said, that's not acceptable. Why is that not acceptable? So here the Gemara had two different reasons why it's not acceptable according to the Chacham. One reason was because it's a concern of ksav agav ksav. Because the second writing is, doesn't really accomplish anything, it doesn't gain anything. And therefore, the second writing is if the second writing doesn't register, it doesn't count for anything, then all you're left is the original writing, which was possible because it was original. That's the first approach in mind. And then we're back, but it says, no, maybe it's not a din of a ksav problem. Maybe it's a really, really technical problem. Maybe it doesn't look nice, it doesn't look very pretty. Because if you think about it, the rest of the Sefer Torah is going to be one shade of ink. And the Shem Hashem is going to be a black, it's going to be a little dark, it's going to be late. It's not going to look so pretty, it's not going to look so nice. Like sometimes, you know, when you write notes, you write the scribbles, you start crossing things out, you start overwriting things, you start carrying, it's just the whole thing just looks like, it looks like a mess. So to the Sefer Torah is going to look very, very messy. If some of the Shem Hashem are going to look at a darker shade of ink than the rest of the Sefer Torah, and that's the reason why it's not acceptable. So we want to focus in for today's part of the share is, that statement, and therefore it's not acceptable. What does that mean, it's not acceptable? Does not acceptable mean that it's possible? That's what it sounds like. The simple reason the Gemara is that the Sefer Torah is not possible. It's possible with the evidence, it's possible with the Torah, based on what? The Gemara says that the whole problem is because of Hidur Mitzvah. Really, if you do a mitzvah in a way that's not the Hidur, if you do a mitzvah, it just doesn't look nice, doesn't look very pretty, that disqualifies it. That's quite a statement, quite a chiddush. So we have to analyze that particular point. Again, it's only the second shot of the Gemara. The first shot of the Gemara was the problem is much more profound than just in the mitzvah. The problem was ksav agav ksav. But according to what the Gemara is backpedaling and suggesting, ksav agav ksav, that we can overcome. That's not so terrible. We'll find your tosis, why that's not a problem. But the hidur mitzvah is the problem. So we're questioning, why hidur mitzvah is such a problem, such a disaster. The hidur mitzvah is going to ruin a mitzvah with the eved. So that requires a little bit more of an analysis. So that sugya actually begins really in the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah. We take a look at the sixth of the Maror Makomos, so page 3. So it starts with the famous Mishnah beginning the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah. Lulav Hagozo Ve'ayavish Pasuk. I just finished in the Shiva saying Shurim about the Dalad Vidim. I went Dalad Vidim. There's Halacha Mais Shiva Dalad. So there's a 4-year series of learning in Yeshiva in the afternoons. A group of Talmidim who are a little bit of a different program. Where they have some little bit of a formal afternoon seder, a little bit less college classes at that time. So there's a formal afternoon seder, and as a part of the limud, so I give them chaburas every Wednesday for a half hour. So we have the chaburas and different halachim and the shibura. So we pretty much go kiseder. So we not every single shibura, not every shibura there, but we do one year chas tefillah, and one year we do chas brachas, one year parts of Shabbos, and one year we do chas yom tovim. So the problem with Duchas Yom Tovim is that it doesn't always coordinate properly with the calendar. So we start off Rosh Hashanah, and then, you know, by the time Sukkot rolls around, we're already doing Hilchos Pesach. So right after Pesach, we're up to Hilchos Talad Minim. So I just finished Yerim and Halacha Maisa. It's a little bizarre, a little strange. It's something about how to buy an Esrog in the middle of May, but Tarih Elam Benitzar. What you gotta do. So it's over here, Lul Vagazel. So putting ourselves into the Sukkot mindset, a little bit before Shavuos. So the mission says, Lul Vagazel Yavish Basel. So if you have a lulav that's either stolen or dried out, it's going to be puzzle. What is wrong with a dried out lulav? So Rashi on the spot says, Yavish, the ba'ina mitzvah mehuderes. Of course, a dried out lulav is not acceptable because the mitzvah has to be beautiful. As the Torah says in Rashi B'Shalach, zekele gadeyu. So with that one word, gadeyu, Rashi, of course, is referencing the famous Gemara in Masech Shabbos. The Gemara talks about the general statement of Zekel Neveo. Zekel Neveo has nothing to do with Daladir, with the Lulav. Zekel Neveo means The tzitzit should not look nice, and the sefer Torah should look nice. And you saw every mitzvah that you use, every chetesh or mitzvah that you should look pretty. Zekeli v'anveu. So Rashi basically borrowed that concept of zekeli v'anveu and said that's what's going on in the sugya of Dalabinim as well. So it's important to note that according to Rashi, the psul of Luba Gozla, because the Luba Yavish, the Mishnah says psul, is not a din prati in Ochos Lulu. It's not doing a Lulu. It's not a gzerset kosh about a Lulu. It's a din klo. It's the general din of Hidda Mitzvah, which would lead us to believe that Hidda Mitzvah is a big problem. Because if Hidda Mitzvah is what is responsible for a Lulu of Hayavish being psul, then we can extrapolate that to, and what if I have tzitzis that don't look very nice? Maybe the psul. What if I have a sefer Torah? What if I have tefillin? What if I have a sukkah? Have any other chetos that doesn't look very nice? It's potentially going to be puzzle. So that's quite a chiddush that Rashi says. That's Rashi's luva yavish puzzle for that very reason. Most of the time, luva yavish doesn't speak to us too much. Lanaisa, vachshimalu lava are very good shape. But in Europe, it was a big, big problem. There are more quotes that it was impossible to get Eastern Europe. The palm trees weren't growing in Krakow. Nothing was growing in Krakow. Except potatoes, nothing was growing in Krakow. So how do we get love him? So it's very, very hard to get love him. And every once in a while, they couldn't get love him. So they would save last year's lulav. Every year they would save last year's lulav just in case they couldn't get a new shipment of lulav in the next year. They would at least have last year's lulav. The problem was they were very, very dried out. So there's one opinion of Rishon that maintains that as long as the lulav isn't cracking, you touch it, falls apart. So it's not yet called the quote-unquote lulav yavish. So we don't really pass like that. We pass it and the lulav is totally white already. It lost all its green color. It's already dried out, which doesn't take all that long after some extent of the lulav if you still have them. You didn't burn with the chametz yet. If you still have last year's love, they're already going to be all white. So there are more rights that even though most of the Mishnayim say that if the lulav lost its color, it's already posel. That's already called lulav yavesh. Since there's one opinion in Tosfos that says that it's not cracking yet, that's still okay. So the Ramon never writes. What will you do? We have no choice. Very often we can't get lulav love. We have to use last year's love. So, but baruch Hashem for us, we don't have that problem anymore. But a lulav yavesh is really posel in that Torah, and Rashi says. The reason is because of Zekeli v'Anveu. So Tosfos takes an issue with this Rashi. Tosfos based themselves on a Gemara that appears in the seventh of the Mamakavos. Let's take a look at it for a moment. The Gemara quotes a Raisa, Dafin Alf, Mabez, Nesuch, and Nesanya. Lulav ben Ogud ben She'enu Ogud Kosher. If you have a Lulav and you didn't tie together the Lulav, the Hadassim, and the Arabis, so it's okay. A guy walks to the shul, everything is falling all over the place. It's schlepped, it's not tied properly. No, it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ogud Kosher, She'enu Ogud Posel. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says, if it's tied together, then it's kosher. If it's not tied together, then it's posel. My time, Rabbi Yehuda. Where in the world did Rabbi Yehuda derive this halacha that a lulav has to be tied with the evet? It's posel with a toad, it's not tied together. Yoav Lakicha, Lakicha Me'agudas Ezo. Rabbi Yehuda had a drasha comparing Dalaminim. So the mitzvah of Agudas Eidah, Agudas Eidah was what was taken at Pesach Mitzrayim to dip into the blood, the blood of the doorposts. Ksiv hosam l'kachtam Agudas Eidah, ksiv hachal l'kachtam l'chem yom harishon. Halahalam b'agudav ka'anami b'agudav. So Rabbi Yehuda had a drasha, Zer Shavah. Just as the Torah speaks about l'kachtam, you have to take the Agudas Eidah. So Agudas Eidah was a group of a bunch of grasses that were tried together to dip it into the blood of the Korban Pesach. And there the Torah calls it an aguda means literally a group of bundle tied together. So to the Dalaminim have to be bundled together. The Rabbanim and the Kichim and Kichim le'afinim. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim, everybody else said, well, we never heard of that drasha. No such drasha, and therefore there is no such halacha that Dalaminim have to be tied. So comes the Gemara, continues, Kamanas la hadisadya. Who does the following braisa follow? Because here we have two extreme views. Rabbi Yehuda says you must tie the Dalaminim, and the Chum say you don't have to tie the Dalaminim. Who is the author of the following braisa? Lulav mitzvah la'ogdo, bim la'ogdo kosher. There's a mitzvah l'chatchila to tie the lulav hadassim and arabis. If you didn't, nishka felach, it's still kosher. In Rabbi Yehuda, kilo ogdo by kosher. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, why is it kosher? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a real din in Torah that you have to tie it. It should be possible. In Rabbanan, am I mitzvah? According to the Chachamim, what are you trying to accomplish? Why is it even in a mitzvah? So the Yehudim Rabbanan, and here's the punchline for us to get. Says that you don't really have to tie the lulav hadassim and arabis according to the chacham. According to the way we pass it, there's no possible drasha. We don't accept that drasha. Afal b'chein, it looks very sloppy. It looks very messy. And what's the shul? His hadassim falling on the floor. His lulav's banging over here. looks so much nicer. I'm always jealous of the guy who walks in the show. He has that beautiful tie. Everything is that. I'm not so good at that. So usually I walk in, but by the second day already, so that ass already fell through. And the loot of the tie already unraveled. Everything's in a mess. And I can't find the top ring and the bottom ring and everything. Every year I buy the fancy rings and they also get lost. They also fall apart. So, but it's supposed to look nice. The idea is that Baruch Hashem will pass the beauty. So the halacha is it's supposed to look nice because of Zekeh Levi and Ehud. So comes the Bryce and says that mitzvah l'agda, there's a mitzvah l'chadchila to tie it, to fulfill Zekeh Levi and Ehud. The imlo agda, if you did it, then it's kosher. So what did the Bryce just say? The Bryce just told us that even though you're supposed to do something to fulfill Zekeh Levi and Ehud, don't worry about it, you did it. It's not the end of the road. Zekeh Levi and Ehud is only a l'chadchila. It's not a big heaven. That's what the Gemara says, black on white. So this is not going to bode well for Shittas Rashi. Rashi learned that why is a lulav hayavesh puzzle? What's wrong with a lulav hayavesh? Rashi said, it's lacking zekeh v'aveu. That's why it's puzzle? According to this Gemara B'Sechel Sukkah, zekeh v'aveu is not a posel. Zekeh v'aveu is a lechatchila. He the mitzvah is lechatchila. By border period filled with the kosher, they're not beautiful. Every period sits this, it looks like it's falling apart, but it's still kosher. It's kosher. So, whoever heard of Zekeh Levi and Ehud possibly did the Evid. So, the Rashi is a very, very difficult shot. So, this is not my kosher, this is Tosa's kosher. So, let's take a look at Tosa, the eighth of the Mamre Kamos. So, Tosa says, Luva Yavish Possel. You want to know why Luva Yavish is Possel? Well, before I speak about Tosa's claims, the Gemara says this, the Gemara does say it at one stage. We should the iskish lulav la'esra. You know why a lulav ayavish is posuk? Because a lulav and an esrog were the same posuk, and an esrog, which is dried out esrog, which is very shvach, is for sure posuk. The chsiv behadar, because an esrog is called the priets hadar. Hadar means beautiful. So comes to us and says the fact that a lulav is posuk, it's dried out, has nothing to do with a kelim veyu. It's a unique din. It's not what we call a din klali. This has nothing to do with nice tzitzis, nice tefillah, nice emetara. This is the din prati and dalabinim, derived from the phrase hadar. Even though hadar is describing esther, but lulav esther and dalabinim are all the same person. The lo kamash bisha kutris says, tells us Rashi is not right. Rashi said, Mishu b'chsiv zekel v'aneyu. Rashi said, that's not the source for pasling b'di'evet. The ein v'aneyu el l'chadchila. So the Anveyu was only a problem. Chachil of all mifsolachi, kitemuchach berakama. The Amar Rabbanu will be zedugd. The Shemitah will never hold the kosher. So the Taisa is a shtark kasha, a strong kasha against this Rashi. So we're not sure what the answer to Rashi is yet, but we definitely have a machlokes which is now taking place. Is Zekeh Levi and Ehud possible to disqualify a mitzvah in the Eved? So according to Tosfos, unequivocally not. According to Tosfos, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Aleph says. Lo agda kosher, even though you're lacking in the hidda mitzvah, so what? Says Tosfos. Hidda mitzvah is not opposed to the other. And Rashi somehow takes on that Gemara. Rashi seems to say, not always true. Sometimes hidda mitzvah does puzzle, sometimes hidda mitzvah doesn't puzzle. Luba Yavish is a problem. But agda maybe it's kosher. We don't know what the rules are. We don't know what the parameters of this are yet. But we do know, according to Rashi, there's a possibility of a hidda mitzvah potentially disqualifying a mitzvah. So what is that?
Right.
So again, according to Shittas Tosfos, that Hidur mitzvah is never, ever, ever ma'akev. Okay, at least Tosfos is consistent. But according to Rashi, that well, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. By not tying it, that's okay. B'di'evid, a little bit yavish, that's possible. B'di'evid. How do you know? What's the difference? How do you know how to imagine? How would you define? How would you know how to put into practice? What kind of hidda mitzvah is a problem and what kind of hidda mitzvah is not a problem. So the Rishonim use certain terminologies, the Acharonim use a little bit of different terminologies. They're probably all saying the same thing. The Rav used the following terms, so we use the terms the Rav used, but the truth is that it's already been said before, just using slightly different terms. So the Rav basically explained that, briskater, there are two kinds of lack of hidda mitzvahs. That there's a hidda mitzvah where there's nothing wrong with the item. There's not a blemish for the item. It's just take a look at it and it doesn't look nice. It doesn't give off that beauty of something. Can you say that there's a problem? There's a moon, there's a poison. You can't point anything that's wrong with it. It's just the whole picture doesn't appear to be so beautiful. That's one kind of hidden mitzvah. Then you have another kind of hidden mitzvah where there's something that's blatant here. There's something that's problematic. I can point to there's a problem, something wrong, something that's bothering me here. That's a whole different kind of a picture. So comes the Rav and explains, that's the difference between a lulav of a yovesh and kaddish to lo agdam. When the guy walks into shul, the first day sukkah, he's walking in and his hadassah will fall on the floor and his rabbis are pointing this way and the lulav that, and his tie isn't working. So you look at the dalamidim and you say, is there anything wrong with these dalamidim? The lulav is a dairy lulav for $180. Hadassah, aleph, every year is another aleph they throw on, a new few dollars. Chumas, I got maislach, it's shech, has an ish, it's good, chet, 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 chet. The Arabas, the Muncie Arabas, they sell, my son told me that he bought Muncie Arabas in Yerushalayim. So the guy's walking around with the Muncie Arabas. The guy brought 800 Arabas from Muncie to Yerushalayim to sell. They get the Mahud, the Dikashim, everything. He's got an Esra from the Chet. The Chazanish made the Brachman. It's a $400 Esra. He spent $5,000 on his dollar. Everything's beautiful, but I don't know what. The guys are shlup, the guys fall apart, the guy can barely, the things are all over the place. Is there anything wrong with this dalamidim? No, we like tap on the shoulder and say, you spend so much money, right? Just like Muhammad. The person walks in, he's wearing a very expensive shirt, wearing very expensive clothes, very expensive suit, but he's not tucked in. Just put your shirt in the pants. Just button your jacket, just look a little nicer. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just you could do it a little bit better, make it look, the whole picture look a little prettier. That's one kind of a hidden mitzvah. Then there's another kind of hidden mitzvah. You look at this lulav, it's white, lulav is dry, lulav is brittle, lulav is falling apart, lulav is broken. So comes the Rav and explains, what about mum dike hidden mitzvah? So that's a problem. That could potentially ruin the mitzvah even in the Evan. When you have something which is a more general kind of a lack of beauty, but it's not there's anything wrong. It's just that it's lacking something rather than absolute or positive poisel. So it says, bro, that's the kind of mitzvah that's not going to ruin the mitzvah. That's the difference according to Rashi, between the Luba Yovesh, which is the poisel, in contrast to the lack of the ego, the lack of tied together, it's only a din lechetchi. According to Tosis, if it's rooted in the mitzvah, forget about it. It's not going to pass on. If it's rooted in Hadar, there's a question about Lulav and Esther and Hadar and Dinprati with Alabidim, then it can potentially pass on the answer. What is this idea about that Hidur Mitzvah sometimes doesn't pass on? According to Tosis, never does. And according to Rashi, only very rarely will Hidur Mitzvah pass on. Why is that so exactly? Why does Hidur Mitzvah not potentially pass on? So there is a Ritva in the ninth of the Ram Kermis. That has a following one line or a very, very fascinating insight to the sugya of Hidur Mitzvah. The Ritva, the ninth of the Ma'amar Kama says, "Yira Bara Meitzer Perish, Leika Lameima De Mitzvah La Ogdol Chetchila Min HaTorah Al Diavon Al Adakasher De Ha Kobed De Raisa Lo Shani La Ben Chetchila Ben B'Diavad." Comes the Ritva and says, "This whole institution of Hidur Mitzvah, very, very strange thing. Hidur Mitzvah is a kelim aveil. You have to do it. It's only the chetchila, but the evidence is okay. Which tells us always go to Rashi sometimes. What kind of a loch is that? That chetchila, yeah, but the evidence no. Is that a Torah concept? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does the Torah speak in those terms that do it this way, preferably, and if you can't, nishkefel, the world's not going to come to an end. So the Ritva says that's not the way the Torah presents dinim. In the world of the Araisas, the world is very, very black and white. It means either it's kosher, or it's muscle. Either it's usr or it's mutter. Either it's stomach or it's tar. Dinim d'araisa are in very, very exact categories. We have this way of speaking. We have like a lingo the way you used to. Lechatchila, do it this way. Bidi evad, it's okay. Bishasa. Those like, you know, very, very, you know, gray areas in halacha of we'd like to do it this way. If you do it the other way, it's also okay. So says the Ritva, whenever you hear those terms being used, you know the only in the realm of dinim d'rabbanan. The Torah doesn't speak those categories. If you ask Moshe Rabbeinu a shaila, he doesn't tell you, well, try, and if you can't, it's okay, you get E for effort. There's no E for effort in their acting worlds. Either you're yetzei or you're not yetzei. That concept of lechatchil do it one way, but the evidence okay a different way, that's purely made up by the Chacham. Therefore, the Mitzvah says, since Hidur Mitzvah is only a lechatchila, at least sometimes, or perhaps all the time, according to Tosfos, since the concept, the notion of Hidur Mitzvah is lechatchila, that's a proof positive that it's not a din d'oraisa. There's no din d'oraisa of Hidur Mitzvah. Min haTorah, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, are these tefillin kosher? If the answer is yes, then you can wear them lechetchila. If the answer is no, then you can't wear them to be evan. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, are these tzitzis kosher? If the answer is yes, then they're good looking at the eye, they look miserable, they look terrible, look at the floor, The kosher. So aslam tzitzis, the kosher, finished. That's talking about Az Yosha. That's Shira Sayyam. There's no Dimin HaTorah. That post, that Jerusha, the Kelim HaVeh, was stolen from the mitzvahs. That's an Asmach, that's a Dimin HaRabbanan. That's not a real Dimin HaRaisa. So according to the Ritva, Hidu Mitzvah is not Ma'akev because it's a low, low level of Halacha. It's a low level of sense. It's only the Rabbanan. So truth be told, not everyone agrees to this Ritva. There's a Tosus in Masechet Nida that disagrees with this Ritva. Tosha says that you can have lechatchilus b'derayis. That's not a foreign concept in the Torah. Sometimes Tosha actually draws a distinction in two different areas of halacha. Tosha says sometimes you have an action which is a mitzvah. Sometimes you have an action which is a matir. Tosha gives us an example: going to the mikvah. Going to the mikvah is not a mitzvah per se. A guy wants to stay tummy. Don't go to the mikvah. I was going to force you to go to the mikvah. If you want to go to the mikvah, you want to become either for a woman to become a taras for balech, or you want to go to a specific dish, you want to eat truma, whatever things you want to do, which require going to the mikvah. So if you choose to do those items, so then you have to be mati yourself and going to the mikvah. But it's not a mitzvah per se. The Infotosis writes, you can't have the Torah concept that lechatchila go this way, but the evidence it's good without that. That doesn't make any sense. If the whole goal of the action is to get to the desired result, my goal is to become tor. If I'm tor, I'm tor. So what do you mean? Lechatchila tovo this way. But the end, it's okay. That's a far concept. It doesn't make any sense on level of their eyes. When it comes to mitzvah systems, you have an idea. You have a concept of that there's a mitzvah to do it. B'shlei b'lusa. You do it in this way. That's the nicer way, minat Torah. If you didn't, it's also okay. You're still young. So Tosfos gives us an example. Tosfos gives the example of chalitza. The Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos that when you do a chalitza, there are three parts of chalitza. The pasuk says you have to take off the shoe, and you have to spit, you have to say the pesukim. So the Mishnah says that what if you didn't say the pesukim? What you do is take off the shoe. So b'diavad, the woman is okay. B'diavad, she can remarry. So you see that chalitza has the chetchilas, that has b'diavad. It's lechetchila. You're supposed to do all three. B'diavad, one out of three is market. So it says tells us the need. What kind of model is that? The whole goal of chalitza is just to get the woman to be muteres. If she's muteres, she's muteres. So Tosfos says, no, we got it wrong. Chalitza is not a matir. Chalitza is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah essay to chalitza. According to some achronim, let's say a husband dies, he's 95, the woman's 94, and she's not no children, she's not planning to remarry. B'chlash, she's not going to remarry anymore. So many achronim, she's still muteres to do chalitza. Why? It's a mitzvah, do chalitza. Chalitza, according to many, is not just a matir to get you, to permit you to get remarried. If you choose, you don't want enough to do chalitza. It's not true. Chalitza is one at a time, it's it. You wake up in the morning, you have to put on children. So if you happen to be a woman whose husband died without children, you have the mitzvah, says in the Torah, to undergo chalitza. So, but otherwise, in the Rebbe Batir, and you can't have lechatchilas, but a mitzvah you can. So that's not like this with Rav. Rav says that lechatchilas don't exist in the world of derisus. So no matter how you slice it, Hidu mitzvah, according to Tosus, is not finished. It's not never makiv. Never was, never is, never will be. It's never makiv. According to Rashi, sometimes yes, sometimes no. So now we have to take this Rashi and Tosus and plug it into our sugya. So how do you understand Agumon? Agumon says that if you have a Shem Hashem, that looks very, very messy. The rest of the Sefer Torah is one shade, and that was the Shem Hashem is bolate. Shem Hashem is written in 16 shades darker. It doesn't look right. The whole thing doesn't look pretty. So the Gemara seems to say, hustle, it's no good. You can't use that Sefer Torah anymore. It's a lack of Zekeli and Veil. Why does that pass the Sefer Torah? What's wrong with the Sefer Torah? So according to Rashi, you can begin to guess what's wrong with the Sefer Torah. According to Rashi, Zekeli and Veil sometimes is a problem. According to Rashi, if it's something that's a mum, it's something that's bad. It's not just a lack of beauty, it's something that's bad. So that's a problem. Now, how do you know whether something is bad or whether something is just a lack of beauty? That's a very, very tough call. Some of the posts can use the phrase, L'masar chasen al chachamim. It's one of those very, very gray areas in halacha. The chacham have to be kaved, the chacham have to look at it, they have to assess it, look, cut shem, and take a look and see. Is this a mum? Is this a blemish? Or is this just that the picture isn't beautiful? So apparently, according to Rashi, that sometimes in the mitzvah will pass over the Eved. So maybe that's what's going on here also. That the Shem Hashem that's written really, really bad. That's a pesel. That's a mum. That's something that looks bad. That's not just not a pretty look. That's a negative. That's a negativity associated with it. So maybe, according to Rashi, that's why the Sefer Torah would be possible. It's hard. I'm not exactly sure how to be mad at that. But according to Tosfos, it's very, very hard to understand. According to Tosfos, it's almost impossible to understand. Because according to Tosfos, Hidu Mitzvah doesn't passel. So if Hidu Mitzvah doesn't passel, ever, it doesn't pass on the lulav. The lulav is possible anyway because of hadar, because of esther. But mitam zekel nevei it doesn't pass on. So according to Tosfos, nothing is possible. The sukkah is kosher, but the evidence is not nice. The dal mitzvah kosher. The lulav, everything's kosher, but the evidence, even though it's not very pretty, according to the Ritva, because there's no derais anyway. The whole thing is only made up with the rabbanim. So what's going on in our sugya? So why does Agamar Masechet Gittin Daf Chav say the Shem Hashem really should be good? Sabad Abitzav here works. It's no good because it looks doesn't look pretty. So why? Look at Chinuch. Don't look pretty. Okay, so, we won't use the Pashas. It's not a question. How can the Braisa imply that the Torah is Bamish possible? Manishtana, the lack of Zekeli Rebbeu by the Shem Hashem, then the lack of Zekeli Rebbeu by the Lulu, by the Yesu, by the Tzitzit, by the Sukkah, etc. What is Bechudosh? What's going on in our Sugya? So there is a Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim on our Sugya that is a fascinating insight. Chassam Sofer says, why is Zekeli Rebbeu not Matthew? What's so weak about that din of Zekeli Rebbeu? What is it about Zekeli Rebbeu? So the Ritva said, because it's only there above anyway, the whole thing. So says Chassam Sofer, what's wrong with Zekeli Rebbeu? Why does Zekeli Rebbeu have a lot of teeth to it? Why doesn't it disqualify the not with such nice looking lulav, sukkah, tzitzis, etc.? So says Chassam Sofer, just read the words. Zekeli Rebbeu. So comes the Gemara and says, Zekeli Rebbeu, oh, have a nice sukkah, a nice pair of tzitzis. That's not what it says, the apostle. It doesn't say ze sukasi v'yanveyu, ze tzitzis shali v'yanveyu. It says ze kevi v'yanveyu. So it says the Chassam Sofer, two halachas of Hiddur Mitzvah. There's Hiddur Mitzvah that relates to Shem Hashem. That when you present Shem Hashem in this world, it's got to be beautiful up to par, ze kevi v'yanveyu. When you do mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not the Shem Hashem. Hashem's name is not written on the tzitzis, Hashem's name is not written on the loof, not written on the sukkah. Mitzvahs of Midav Hashem V'Shalim Bo, which is a given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us to do. So says Chassam Sofer, when you're dealing with the real Makoy, the emissary did the Ikra did as they came to the Veil, which is on the Shem Hashem, guess what? That's a Dinderaisa, it's Ba'ach B'Di'eved. That's what the Apostle means, Zekeli Rebbeu, it's the Shem Hashem. But it's anything else, it's tzitzis, it's your other things, it's your lulav, it's your sukkah, that kind of stuff. Those kinds of watered down Zekeli Rebbeu, that's not the Rabbanon. That's not the real thing. That's not going to disqualify your mitzvah. So even says some stuff, but even the Baal HaTosfos who hold that Zekeli Rebbeu is nothing, it doesn't ruin mitzvahs, it doesn't disqualify mitzvahs, it doesn't disqualify mitzvahs, but it disqualifies Shem Hashem. And therefore, if the Shem Hashem and the Sefer Torah, that's where the chisson is. It's not that the sukkah doesn't look pretty, not that the lulav is lacking. The Shem Hashem is looking terrible. That's a huge problem. That's going to be a problem even on the level of their Isa. That's in the Achav in the Eved. And that's what's going on there. So the Chiddush Gadol from Chassam Sofer. It could be that based on Chassam Sofer, we understand why there's a halacha when you bring a korban has to look nice, has to look pretty. Why? How do you know the animals to look nice? So the pasuk says, Bivchar et Reichem. That's look really, really good. That's look nice. So many of the posts can point out that din that a korban has to look nice, that goes above and beyond the din of Hiddur Mitzvah. There's a regular din, your sukkah has to look nice, your tzitzit has to look nice, everything has to look nice. Your korban, that's an even higher level. That's the raisa, other halachas that highlight the fact that's a different halacha. What is that? What is that all about? Why is a korban so fundamentally different than other kind of chabad and mitzvah? So the Chassam Sofer himself doesn't say this, but maybe we connect the dots. What is a korban? A korban, Hashem. How does something become a korban? You're calling on a Shem Hashem. That's what it means. I take an animal and I say, this animal is for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Vesel Chatzos. Hashem. So when something has the Shem Hashem on it, either literally like the Sefer Torah, which is Mamash the Shem Hashem, or an animal that's been carried on the Shem Hashem, those kind of chafotim have a higher level of in the mitzvah. That's the Zekeli Rebbeu Deraisa. Have a pair of tzitzis. Tzitzis, doesn't say Hashem's name in the pair of tzitzis. I wasn't machtish to tzitzis to Rebbeinu Shalom. I have a bag and a pair of tzitzis that's set aside that I can use to perform a mitzvah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu told me about. That's not Shem Hashem. You have to put things into perspective. A pair of tzitzis, when you don't think it's thrown into place, thrown into the garbage. It's not Kodesh Hashem. It doesn't have Kodesh Hashem on it. So perhaps one could argue that when you have something which is Kodesh Hashem, that's a Kedem Rebbeu Deraisa. Everything else that's watered down, like Mishkan Korban, Mishkan Hashem, Mishkan, anything like that, maybe that's only a Durban. Maybe that's the reason why it's not Ma'akev. So, however you slice it, we have a Gemara that says that the Hiddur Mitzvah can sometimes ruin the Sefer Torah. The According to Rashi, that's not such a fine concept because sometimes in the mitzvah does ruin, sometimes yes, sometimes no. According to Tosfos, that it never ruins things. Maybe you have to argue this distinction that some sefer is presenting.
If it's not communicated that, let's say there are a lot of mistakes in the Sefer Torah, which the Sefer Torah, the Sefer does a great job, he's great, he does tell. And then the Shem Hashem is equal to the average way the Sefer Torah goes.
So, I don't know. According to some stuff, I'm not sure. The Chassam Sofer is talking about the Shem Hashem proper. Would we say it the whole Sefer Torah is like Shem Hashem? If the Ramban writes.
No, where Hashem's name is mentioned, it looks no matter what you do, no matter how perfect the book, it's going to be possible. Maybe according to Tosfos, and in Rashi, if you can't really tell, it's Mutta. No matter what you do, once you we do it.
Yeah.
It's not.
I'm not sure how this will play out. But yeah, a couple of different approaches as that is how our problem. Okay, we'll see when the Sunyot, let's share lessons. We'll begin the next. What? Yeah.